Hi, I'm Oliver Berquez, co-founder of 40 Fit, and welcome to the Brain, Brawn and Business Podcast, a podcast where I get business owners on to talk about their motivation, inspiration, successes and challenges they face in business. We'll provide some valuable and inspiring content for those that are in business or for those that are aspiring to start their business journey. Enjoy the episode. Hi everyone, welcome back to another episode, my first of 2020, and just the usual stuff before I start the episode to give a bit of an introduction around the guest. First of all, wishing you all a happy and prosperous 2020 and hope you're going to have a great year ahead. My guest today for the podcast is Emma Good from 24 Fingers. She runs a social media digital agency, and her story is very inspiring, so her work ethic and the growth and her story to get to where she's got to is certainly inspiring. She also shares some really good little tips and tricks around sort of social media, things you can think about in 2020. So some really good take home in the episode. Yeah, that's what's coming up. As always, hope you enjoy the episode. And if you want to join the Brain, Brawn & Business community, I've got a free advice group on Facebook, just where offering value around business, fitness and mindset. So if you want to get a little bit more value and any support around business, then you can head over to Facebook, Brain, Brawn & Business community. It's a free page and you can join and just be a part of that community that I'm set up for 2020. Okay, guys, episode coming up with Emma now, and I hope you all enjoy it. Hi, podcast community. Welcome back to another episode of the Brain, Brawn & Business podcast. Today, my guest is Emma Good. Emma is a founder of 24 Fingers, a social media agency, which helps like vast range of businesses, which I think is going to be really good to talk to you about today. Maybe get some tricks of the trade as well, tricks that we can pass on. Obviously, Emma's been in business a few years now, and business has grown year on year, so her success is obviously really inspiring. It'd be really good to get your story on that today, Emma, a little bit as well.
Sure.
So thanks for coming on.
My absolute pleasure. Great to see you.
Anything else you want to add?
No, it's great to be here. It took us two times, but I'm here this morning looking forward to it.
Yeah, exactly. So what's your first job after college, school?
So I was really lucky. So I went to college to be a bilingual secretary, and then I got a job as a secretary in a publishing company straight after school, straight after college. And really that set up my future career in publishing, actually. So best break, as a PA to MD, really small company. So I learned on the job, I learned everything there was to know about publishing. And then I moved into London, and the rest was history.
Great. And how many years were you working before you started 24 Fingers?
So I did that for 22 years, two companies in publishing. So I was a print and paper buyer. So I worked with people like Tesco's and Kia Motors and British Heart Foundation, buying their paper and organising their magazines, and a brilliant career, loved it.
So 22 years, because I think now you see a lot of people getting into business quite quickly or quite early because entrepreneurship might be quite a something thing to do. For you, 22 years, you've certainly learnt your trade and seen a lot. Has that really sort of helped you, give you the platform into 24 Fingers now?
I think it taught me what not to do, and I learned by my own mistakes. But I think at the beginning, so I started in London, 18, running a production team. And, oh, my God, I just had to sink. It was like sink or swim. So my bosses left within 6 weeks of me joining, which was really weird. And I was like, right, what do I do? Do I go for it or do I shrink back? And I went for it. So, you know, I'd be working kind of 20 hours a day. I'd be doing 7 days a week, but actually learning my craft at a really kind of intensive level and then training my team onwards. Best thing that could have ever happened to me.
Yeah, amazing. Like 20 hours, 7 days, that's a craft. Have you always been a hard
exactly.
worker?
Yeah, I think so. And my son is too. And I love it. And I think when you do something that you love, it doesn't even feel like hard work.
Get it, 100%. Yeah, I think, and that's so important, isn't it? Not everyone maybe can do something they love if it's a job that's earning money or whatever. But
I don't recommend doing 7 days, 20 hours a day, by the way, but I did what needed to be done. And I was really proud of it, and I was really proud of my team. And I think there's a few career highlights, like we launched a magazine for Tesco's, a TV title, and we launched it in Christmas week, and we beat Radio Times and TV Times to the shelves. That's unheard of. That doesn't happen, and that happened because of team effort.
Yeah. Should be really proud. Amazing. And I think as well, so as much as you learn in the job that you're in now, that leadership and management, obviously that experience of managing a team has really helped you, because you've got obviously a team now, and how you And I suppose as well, does it help how you communicate with businesses you work with? Because you've been in that business sector.
I think I predominantly deal with business owners. So I get their struggle and I get their pain point because it's the same pain point as me. You know, not enough time, trying to do your best, juggling too much. You're the chief accountant, bottle washer, PR, marketing owner, you know, there's lots of plates to spin. So when I talk to business owners, I'm real. I'm not like, yeah, you know, it's all fantastic 24/7, because it's not. As you know, there's ups and downs, peaks and troughs.
And I think that's really important that you have that sort of honesty about it and stuff. And
100%.
Because I think that's what people buy into that.
You know, I can't lie. Look, everyone sees my face and I can't lie.
Yeah.
And I think on our social media feeds, we're really authentic. So we don't fluff it up, we don't pretend, and we don't make it what it is. Because if somebody meets me, I'm not all P's and Q's and suited and booted. They've got to see me, and I want my social media to reflect that. And I think any business, when they're on social, really needs to define their tone of voice. So if you're formal, if you're structured, if you're corporate, brilliant, make your social media like that. But if you're not, equally, don't be afraid to be the real you.
I agree. Yeah, it's really good advice. So 24 fingers, tell me about it. So 22 years in, obviously working publishing. And stuff, publishing and managing teams, working for someone. Then you took the plunge to go set up 24 fingers. Was that always an ambition? What point did it happen?
No, not at all. I took the plunge because I was forced to. So I got made redundant and I was coming up to the wrong side of 40. And I was like, if I don't do this now, I'm never going to do it. And my son was just starting school and I was like, I'm never going to get my old job back, because I used to spend quite a lot of time in the pub with my friends and no one really wanted to employ that kind of person anymore. So I was like, right, I've got to do something. And the kind of position that I had, there was probably only about 5 roles in London doing the same thing. And I was like, right, I'm just going to go and do it. And I did it. What I'd done though previously, and I think this is a tip for anybody that's considering running their own business, I morphed my job. So I did half my time in printing and half my time online. So that when I was made redundant, I was able to take all my customers. The company went bust. So I took my customers into my new company. So I started with a really solid foundation of clients and money. And that really took the pressure off. I didn't start from ground zero.
Great. Great. So how long has 24 fingers been running now?
So nearly 6 years.
Wow.
Yeah, nearly. Grey hairs to prove it as well.
But you love it. You can see the passion.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, 2 years ago, I think you'll probably resonate with this, that business isn't linear. And 2 years ago, you know, I had a really tough year, 3 and 4. But look, this year, best year we've had.
Amazing.
And I think 2020 will even be brighter.
Oh, well done, you. Yeah, really great to hear. I think, yeah, business certainly has peaks and troughs. It's never,
you don't think that, do you? No, it's not.
But I think as well, business is tough, you know, and when you're self-employed, running your own business, and, you know, it's not 9 till 5, you know, you don't switch off. You've always got to think of things. So there's always challenges with that.
Yeah.
So do challenges. You mentioned earlier about sink or swim. You've obviously, getting to the short space of time, I've known you. You've got this real sort of grit, determination about your work ethic. You mentioned about, obviously, you've had challenges, so... how have you overcome them? What challenge you had you could share? How you've overcome them?
Yeah.
How it's made you better?
How long have we got, Oliver? So I would say I'm quite tenacious and I don't give up, to the point of sometimes I probably should give up, quite stubborn, but I don't like failing and I do like hitting targets. But I would say, God, so much I've learned. But number one, I've made huge mistakes at the beginning of the business by doing all the things that I was rubbish at and not delegating and not getting the right people around me. So I was probably like, yeah, I'll do that. And I'll just work a bit longer and I'll do that. What I should have done is gone, actually, do you know what? I'm going to do 12 hours on what I'm really, really good at and delegate or outsource it. And I didn't do that enough. I had a team that were absolutely fantastic. But I think looking back, I shouldn't have grown so quickly. So what I did is I grew really quickly and I just filled the team, but I wasn't strategic. And in hindsight, what I should have done is got a business mentor and much earlier in my career.
Do you have one now?
I have one now. She's fantastic. Am I allowed to?
Yeah,
Kathy Ennis, Little Piggy. Absolutely fantastic. What I love about having a business mentor is it's not just go away and do that. Kathy actually helps and coaches me through how to do it, because I know what I've got to do. We all know what we've got to do. Do you know what I mean? Anyone can go on YouTube and look at how to run a business and how to do this, how to do that, but actually doing it is another thing.
I find this accountability is really important.
Precisely.
Yeah, you know, I know
exactly.
You're both with Rupert and stuff. You know, Rupert's here been a help to me and things. And
exactly that.
Such a client here. But we talk about accountability, so whether that's with peers, friends,
yeah,
family, work colleagues,
exactly
clients,
that.
Mentors,
you know, when you're accountable for something, it makes it so much more achievable and the goals realistic. And
definitely. So, or even someone to pick up the phone. And I didn't have this when I started my business. I didn't really have this. I didn't have anybody that I could phone up and go, oh, my God, this has just happened. Am I being unreasonable? Never had that. Whereas now, especially with Kathy.
So she's great. Yeah.
Oh, just... we started working together last year, absolutely changed my business, but change it up here.
Yeah,
because
brilliant.
Now I'm like, right, I don't need to do that. That isn't an effective use of my time, energy, mind. Actually, that can happen. And what are my goals in a year, 5 years? Whereas before, I just work all the hours God sent, but probably wasn't as productive as I should have been.
Yeah. So she's really helped your productivity.
Yeah, definitely.
I think it's important. I love mentioning that. I think give a kudos to Kathy that she's helped you. So, yeah, we'll tag her in somewhere on this podcast.
Definitely.
If you can. So you mentioned about productivity and obviously setting goals. And so do you have sort of daily habits? Have you got a routine now of how it works for you?
Yes. Well, 2020 is going to be much more routine-led. But I would say my general routine is I get up quite early, try and get up by 6:30. And then I'm a Buddhist, so I chant for... a certain amount of time in the morning before I start my working day. And I've been a Buddhist for 25 years.
Does it help you?
Oh,
aside from the meditation in the morning, what you're doing in the morning.
Yeah, absolutely changed my life. So now if I've got a business challenge or a personal challenge for that matter, I chant to really see wisdom and then know what action to take rather than be kind of, you know, lost in your brain or overthink stuff.
Good.
Yeah.
Really good. So you wake up in the morning early.
Wake up.
You're doing that, and then.
And then healthy breakfast.
Yeah. Good.
Healthy breakfast, and I could just sit and work till 10 at night. So I have to really be disciplined with myself to take a break for training. So I go to my gym probably 5 to 6. I'm actually going to change that and swap my day around. I'm actually going to do my exercise in the morning in 2020. But that's kind of the structure of my day. Get up, do my list, and Kathy again recommends do your list the night before. So I never used to do that. I used to just receive emails, receive phone calls and react, whereas now I'm much more right, I'm doing this, blocking out my time, much more effective. I think of the hours I wasted and the days and the weeks I must have wasted.
Yeah.
But you don't know until you know.
No, and I think time productivity, I talk about this a lot actually, and I think it's really important is I journal and stuff, but whether it's journal, list, whatever it is to get onto paper.
Yeah, exactly.
But I think, and we're going, no, I can't spend 30 minutes journaling or writing stuff down. But I actually think if we can spend more time on getting planned and organised, it might mean less time in the day, but it'll make your day more productive.
Definitely.
Decision fatigue's huge, comes in.
Yeah.
And so I think that's really important for that time productivity. So I really get what you're saying there.
That's a biggie for me.
Yeah. So... you organise your list, and obviously you mentioned about exercise. How does that help you? Does it help you work?
So it definitely clears my mind. I like to train, and I think just that hour to go away, not think, oh my God, I haven't replied to that email, oh my God, I haven't done this, is very freeing. And like I said, I'm results driven. So when I see the effect of that training, that spurs me on. So I started running last year, couch to 5K, absolutely fantastic. And then this year I've done half marathon. I couldn't have even run for bus before, literally. And,
well, again,
accountability. I had a very good friend that used to literally come to my house every day and say, right, he was on gardening leave. So he's like, right, you're coming running for me. And I'm like, I can't run. He's like, you can and you will. And we did.
Half marathon. Great achievement. Yeah. Cheers to that. Well done. You know, it's great. So anything else in your daily routine, daily habits that I suppose impact in your work, your performance?
I would say, and Rupert and I have spoken about this a lot, a confident mindset. I didn't have that every year over the 6 years. And I think the confidence and ability to believe in yourself is really important as a business owner, because you haven't got many people kind of constantly patting you on the back. So you really have to kind of drum that from within, I feel. And I struggle with that, and it's getting better now. But
what have you done to do that?
I think just be a bit kinder to myself and less critical. Good. And just a bit like, no, actually, you know, you're doing all right. Don't be so judgmental on yourself.
But just knowing you, like you care. I can tell you care.
Yeah,
you care. You're kind. You're light as a person. So I think
you
how are you faithful to yourself?
Yeah.
And you find it's having an impact now on you.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it's really important for business owners to celebrate those small successes. So I think it's really easy to go, oh, yeah, yeah, and, you know, just swipe all that away. But actually go, do you know what? Yeah, I did that really well. So yesterday I got a really lovely testimonial. I do some work with St. Francis Hospice, who are an amazing local charity, if anybody doesn't know them. They sent me a really lovely review, and that just made my day. I really felt I helped, and then I put that out on social, and that was like, yeah, you know, well done. Good. And I don't think business owners do that enough for themselves, really.
No, I don't. And I think it's really interesting to celebrate small wins. I'm guilty of that. I'm very much, I have a goal, I achieve it, I look at the next goal, I move on. Yeah. I don't try, I suppose, complacency. I don't know, I've got this, I need to celebrate more wins better. It's good hearing you say the small wins. Actually did a podcast previously with my partner, and we were talking about things we learned through football and stuff, and actually celebrating small wins is really important. But then having a goal after that, you need something to go on to after. You know, it's like the half marathon, or, I mean, I'm running the marathon next year, funny enough. So I've got a goal of that, but it's right, what's going to go after that? Because it can get flat. So
definitely. And you need goals, you need targets.
Goals, yeah. Cool. So that's your daily routine. Anything else you do that's in your routine that's...
I love to network. So most days I'll try and get out to a networking meeting.
Great.
And that really gives me a lot of energy because I love talking to people. If I could just network all day long, I would. But I think especially where I am in Brentwood in Essex, we've got such a vibrant business community. So to go out and see other business owners and go, oh, okay, I'm really struggling with this. How did you overcome that? And kind of pool ideas and tactics and tricks. Brilliant.
Yeah, so you network. So what's your networking consist of? Just events? Going to events? Is there any other ways you network and connect?
So I've got like a range of different events that I go to on a weekly or monthly basis, and that's working really well. Chamber of Commerce, Brentwood Chamber of Commerce, best decision I ever made last year. Unbelievable to join. So we have regularly kind of 60 people each meeting, and it's a community of people that want to do business with each other, which is fantastic. And then I do weekly interviews on my website. So we ask people 24 questions, which hopefully we're going to do later on today together. And my whole kind of business model is about getting eyeballs on my content. So the more people I meet and the bigger network they've got, that's how I've spread. So that was the kind of reasoning behind doing these interviews, because I can only grow so quickly, so I need to talk to other people.
Leverage,
with bigger networks.
Good, great thinking. Cool, so that's that. And I want to talk to you about, obviously, 24 fingers, because it fascinates me, the world of social media and the work, you know, it's so prevalent. It is, you know, I think marketing's become hugely important and how we market ourselves, our own personal branding and
definitely
stuff and what we do. So any tricks of the trade, tips you can give us?
Loads. How long have we got?
Five to whatever you think the top few.
Yeah, okay. So I would say number one, have a plan. So many people panic every day and go, oh my God, I haven't put anything on Facebook. I'm just going to chuck up a meme. Like, don't step away from the unbranded content. Have a plan. Have campaign-led year, so 12-monthly campaigns across your business that could be seasonal, offer-led, trend-led, evergreen content that you can plan effectively. And I was talking with a client on, what week today? Thursday on, I can't remember what day I did this now, this week's gone crazy.
Thursday 12th.
Is it December? Is it 2019? And we were talking about how to plan over the next week his whole content for 2020, and that's really achievable, and that really takes the pressure off for a small business owner that's thinking.
Hugely.
Yeah, so
it takes a bit of time though.
Not as much time as you might think. Yeah, so we'll chat about that.
That'd
but I would say planning is my number one. Number two, to get effective content, it has to be real, has to be authentic, like you said, but it has to be true to yourself. So really think about the assets in your business. Do you have somebody in your team that is happy to go on Facebook Live? Do you have somebody on your team that's willing to do a team shot once a week? Do the things that are easy and achievable. I'm the biggest person to say, don't be on social for the sake of it. Like, don't waste your time. You're busy enough running a business. Do it if it's effective, and don't if it's not.
It's really good that productivity.
Yeah.
I have a rule.
Because it's a rabbit hole. It's a rabbit hole.
I have a rule. Once I post something, I only look at the next 10 posts and come off it, because it wastes time.
Brilliant. Love that.
Because you could be in flow of something productive in your day.
Yeah.
Check
exactly.
On the phone.
Yeah, it's fatal. Absolutely fatal.
Great. So productivity.
Number three, I would say really 80s saying, but I'm going to say it anyway, fish where the fish are. Don't be on Twitter if you need to be on Instagram. Don't think that you've got to be on every single platform every single day.
It's really good advice.
Do the ones what work for you, where your ideal clients are, and just do them really, really well. And once you've cracked one, move on to the next. But don't make it so unrealistic that you just think, actually, this ain't working, I'm going to stop. Because that's the worst thing.
How do you work out where your clients are?
So produce a customer avatar or several customer avatars. So look at who your typical customer is now and define them by age, gender, demographics, interests, lifestyle, location. And that will help you think, actually, a 45-year-old woman in Essex is probably going to be able to be reached on Facebook and Instagram, for example. So suddenly you'd look at, okay, what kind of content is resonating on Facebook and Instagram, and change your content strategy accordingly. You and your personal brand that you just mentioned, LinkedIn all the way. So what type of content you can put on LinkedIn. So once you've got your avatars, you can work out where they're most likely to live in social media.
Great, really good advice. So we're up to four.
We're up to four. Okay. Oh, loads.
I
loads.
Get loads. Any
okay. So something that we did yesterday, I was in a LinkedIn workshop for a client, and there was like 20 of us in the room, and it was in property. And did you know that you can hide on LinkedIn people finding other gym owners and coaches?
No.
Okay. So go to privacy and settings, which be in your top right. It'll be by your profile picture. Go into settings and privacy. And I think,
get this down, guys.
Yeah. Take notes. I think one of the third or fourth option down, it says something like viewers also viewed. And effectively LinkedIn is showing people who your competitors are. So tick that button off, because you don't want people finding someone else that can do your job.
Great advice.
Loads more where that come from.
Yeah, fantastic. Right, give me one more.
One more. Okay, now you put me on the spot. One more. Okay, LinkedIn again. Apply to become a live video creator on LinkedIn. So now LinkedIn is letting you go live, just like Facebook, but you have to apply. So if anybody wants to release their inner Steven Spielberg, apply and do it.
Yeah, I've got the feature.
You do it, brilliant.
But Callum's not here today. We're improvising.
Yeah, because video is going to only become more important. So next year,
Do you think video to get? I
think the stats say that 80% of all social media content next year will be video based. So if you haven't got video in your content strategy, because I've got again some tips and tricks. But great point. If you're not comfortable, because some people don't like Facebook Lives and some people don't like videos. Get over yourself and just have a go. It's got to be like, you know, it can be as small as 60 seconds, but start getting out of your comfort zone.
Find there's a certain amount of time and videos value.
Yeah.
Depending on the platform.
Yeah, it depends on the platform. So if you're doing a Facebook video ad, you want it to be 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Short. If you...
Videos or photos work better on Facebook ads, you think?
Videos.
Always videos.
So engagement rates on a photo is about 3.5%. On video, that jumps to 6%. So it's a no-brainer. Yeah. Do more of what works.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. What do you find? Is there a duration also depend on the platform in terms of videos?
So on LinkedIn, you want to be doing less than 10 minutes. I'd say Facebook, a couple of minutes. People do drop off. And if you go into your insights per platform, you can see when people stop watching you. So for your next video, make it that length.
Really interesting. Great tip that, Emma. Really good. So what advice would you give to Emma of 10 years ago, 15 years ago?
Wait a minute, what was I doing 10 years ago?
Well, before 24 minutes, is there a time where you think, God, you know, if I knew that now, it would be different? Emma?
Yeah, lots. But from a business point of view, I would say believe in yourself and don't take the opportunities and... take the opportunities and get the right people around you, because I personally think, oh my God, if I'd have done that then I could have been doing this and that. But everything works out for a reason.
I agree.
The things that have happened, especially over the last 12 months, it's all panning out how it's meant to be, and I have faith.
I agree. And I actually think, and I think this is really important, and I've always been like this, where if things don't work out, it's not like, oh, I wish I'd known that 5 years ago.
And you can't think like that, can you?
You can't think that, because actually, the fact that you probably got it wrong and you didn't quite think like that 10 years ago and you made the mistakes, now you're in that position now, you're a better person for it anyway.
Yeah, definitely.
So there's always value and positive.
Oh, 100%.
And actually, lessons to come out of that. So
definitely.
Nothing's ever wasted.
Bad.
I just try and say that to people all the time. I think it's really important. So, no, it's great. I mean, do you have any personal heroes?
Personal heroes.
If so, and why do you hold them in high regard? What is it about them?
That's a really great question. I've never thought about that. In my local community, yeah, I do have heroes. And like Rupert, we've mentioned earlier, Rupert is a fantastic coach from Sandler Training. Really admire Rupert. And every time I talk to Rupert, I get something of value that I can incorporate into my business. And he's so willing to share knowledge. And I think that's a really admirable trait in somebody. Because there's quite some people that want to hold on to information and want to hold knowledge, and like, God, let's all raise up, you know. And Rupert's a brilliant person to do that. Who else? God, there's so many people. I told my
just one more, maybe an impact. Someone's had a real impact on you.
God, I've worked with so many coaches that have each really impacted on me. Can't pick one. I think the people that have really helped me over the last year really know who they are. And the last kind of 2 years have been particularly challenging. And I'm so grateful for actually the people that just phoned up and went, are you all right? What can I do? Rather than just apply more pressure. And they just listened and they didn't judge or didn't go, well, you know, you should be doing that. They actually went, right, I'm here. Let's go for a run.
That's nice.
Let's do this. But actually,
so people like, close to you, it's really helped you on your journey.
Yeah, like million percent. Yeah.
That's fantastic. It's really good. What advice would you give to you know, someone starting out in your industry, or what are your top tips of advice for people getting into business, or even the best business advice you've ever had?
Okay, so I'm going to use my son as an example. So my son is nearly 18. He'll be 18 next summer, and he started up his own business last year, and he did that all off his own back, and he went onto Twitter, and he got every single client from Twitter, and now he gets new clients every day, and he's doing really well. Go for it. That's my thing. Like, go for it, and you'll learn along the way what not to do, like I did. I've got loads of what not to do. But just go for it, because I think sometimes fear and procrastination can hold us back, and we'll never know if we don't try.
Of course. And you said what not to do. Is there any what not to do in any business for people starting out?
Don't think that you need to be perfect from day one, because you can always refine, test and refine. Don't wait to publish that blog. Don't wait to do that Facebook Live. Don't wait to make an impact. Try it, test it, do more of what works and less of what doesn't.
Yeah, no, great. What's your last thing I want to ask you was just, do you have any words or quotes you live by?
I've got that in my 24 questions for you.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't think of a businessy one, but I think...
Anything inspires you?
Like, go hard or go home, just like do it or don't. Do you know what I mean? But I'm a bit hero to zero, so
No, I love that. Right, so people, those little tips you said there about social media, I mean, everyone's like, I mean, that's brilliant. So, people want to know where to find you,
okay?
So, I'd love to know where they can find you, what you've got coming up,
yes,
how they can connect. I will leave you all in the show notes anyway,
okay? So, www.24fingers.co.uk is our website. We're on all the social channels. But what I'm most excited about in 2020, and I've been doing it a lot over the last 6 months, is our training workshops with Brentwood Chamber of Commerce. So we have 2-hour practical workshops where someone will sit with you and go, don't press that button, press that button, and here's why. They'll tell you how to look at what best times to post, what to post, what days of the week to post, and actually talk you through the platform. Because so many business owners are like, I know I've got to be on social, but it's scary. I know I've got to be social, but I haven't got the time. And our 2-hour workshops are designed so that by the time you leave that room, you absolutely know how to use each platform effectively.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Really good. Okay, cool. I'll leave it in the show notes. And obviously, your website.
Yep.
People can connect you on LinkedIn.
Yeah, do. Please platforms. Do. Yeah. I need to build my network. Connect with me.
Yeah, no, it's really important. Emma, just from my perspective, thanks so much for your
time
today.
No, my pleasure. It's been great.
Sharing that. And actually, love hearing your story, your journey, the energy, and what you're doing. I'm sure you're going to have a great 2020. Yeah. So thanks so much for your time.
Thank you very much.
Cheers. Thank you. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast today. If you enjoyed the episode, then please share it with anyone else you think that might get value. And if you can leave us a 5-star review, that would be great. It will just help us to reach more people with the podcast.
If you want to get the episodes as soon as they're released, then just subscribe to the podcast. And as soon as they get released, you'll get a notification on the podcast platform you use. Once again, thanks to everyone for listening. And if you want to get in touch with me at any time, then just drop me a message on LinkedIn, Oliver Berquez. Be great to connect and have a chat with you.